It's religion today, it's ideology today, and our secularist friends also have a faith.
Some kind of Disneyland fantasy.
I know how this is going to get heard in the secular world.
Where the pseudo-Christian masks are off.
That's nonsense, ladies and gentlemen.
Apologetics isn't just about giving answers to other people's questions. It's also about learning to question other people's answers or even question the question itself.
In a Christian worldview.
Well, welcome to Quantum number 294. We are going to look at extremes today. Now, Quantum is a podcast that looks at news and views from throughout the world, politics, culture, sport, lots of different things. And occasionally we have a particular theme, and I'm going to drop some of our usual features to focus on this theme, extremes within society and the danger that these extremes cause. Now, definition is everything, so we need to define what extreme is. I like the different dictionary definition of existing to a very high degree. And so we're going to look at some of the extremes within our culture and society at the moment. And then I'm going to, at the end, admit to being an extremist in at least one thing. But I have been looking at the top 100 tracks I've listened to on Spotify over the past year. We're at number 60 to 56, I think. I'm not going to put these in any particular order, but I do want to start with this, which is an absolutely superb song from Bob Dylan's favorite writer, John Prine.
I know a guy that's got a lot to lose. He's a pretty nice fella, kind of confused. Got muscles in his head, ain't never been used. Thinks he owns half of this town. Starts drinking heavy, gets a big red nose. Beats his old lady with a rubber hose. Then he takes her out to dinner, buys her new clothes. That's the way that the world goes down. That's the way that the world goes round. You're up one day, the next you're down. It's a happening to water, you think you're gonna drown. That's the way that the world goes. I was sitting in the bathtub, counting my toes when the radiator broke. Water all froze, I got stuck in the ice without my clothes, naked as the eyes of a clown. I was crying ice cubes, hoping I'd croak when the sun come through the window. The ice all broke, I stood up and laughed, thought it was a joke. That's the way.
Yeah, that's the way the world goes round. Well, that's what we're looking at. We're looking at the way the world goes round. Now, I want to begin by looking at Islamic extremism because, as I say, I wrote two articles, Islamism in Britain 1 and 2, part 1 and part 2, and both of those were, for about a week, the most read articles on the Christian Today website. As always, we'll put a link to that in the podcast if you want to have a look at them. I also did an interview on Vision Radio about the same subject. And again, if you want to have a look at that, then please feel free to do so. www.theweefly.com, all the links are there. But here's an extraordinary statement from the British House of Commons.
As we mourn the tragic loss of life in Israel and Gaza, the Prime Minister reminded us last week of the need to fight extremism and heal divisions. So I start today by remembering the Muslims who died in two world wars in the service of freedom and democracy. We need a memorial to honour them, so following representations from the Right Honourable Member for Bromsgrove and others, I've decided to allocate £1 million towards the cost of building one. Whatever your faith or colour or class, this country will never forget the sacrifices made for our future.
Now, why is that extraordinary? That's the Chancellor, Jeremy Hunt, saying basically what he's trying to do is appease extremist Islamists by saying, we're going to show that we really care for Islam by putting up a memorial to Muslims who died during World War II. And he's going to give £1 million for it. And yet at the same time, he says, whatever your faith, color, or class. Now, when I look at a war memorial, I don't wonder what religion the people are. So why are they discriminating by faith in order to show that they don't discriminate by faith? And then in the UK, we've seen George Galloway, who is from my city of Dundee, but he's been elected Member of Parliament for Rochdale. He's a fabulous orator, and I find him to be, honest, a horrendous character. And what he's done in Rochdale is a form of politics which is really disgusting, because it's tied in with ethnic and religious identitarianism. He went round the mosque and he campaigned for votes by appealing to the consciences of worshippers. Could they face God on Judgment Day and say they opposed Keir Starmer and the Labour Party's position on the Gaza crisis when they had the chance? He portrayed himself, as he did in Bradford West, as a champion of oppressed Kashmiri Muslims. He had a set of leaflets which were for white English households, talked about his patriotism, his support of Brexit, and so on. And then he had a set that were for voters of the Muslim faith in Rochdale. It's extraordinary that this has come into British politics, and it's something that will be in politics in many areas of the West. And I do wonder if we have the ability to challenge it. So I think there is an enormous danger to our culture from Islamic extremism. And again, for any Muslims who are listening to this, I'm not saying all Muslims are extremists, but I'm saying Islamism, which is Islamic extremism, is a real threat and danger. And then talking about extremism, we're talking about extremism laws. Now, there's an extraordinary proposal from the UK government, who I just think have lost the head completely. They are going to put a revised definition of extremism. The current definition defines extremism as vocal or active opposition to fundamental British values. But the draft definition consists of three main strands. It defines extremism as the promotion or advancement of an ideology based on intolerance, hatred, or violence that aims to undermine the rights or freedom of others. Now, that's an extraordinary thing. Because if I say I don't believe that a man can become a woman, is that intolerance, hatred? Am I trampling on the rights or freedom of others who think that they can? It really is. When you've got words like intolerance and hatred, then people can say, well, your Christian views are intolerant or hateful. And that means that we could be banned for expressing Christian views. It means that gender-critical feminists could be banned for challenging transgender women's views. Or Christians could be banned for opposing gay marriage or abortion. And then in Canada, there's the possibility that this film might actually become true. Do you remember this film?
We are arresting individuals who have broken no law.
But they will.
The fact that you prevent it from happening doesn't change the fact that it was going to happen.
The system can't be wrong.
Run! Wait!
You say something, Chief?
No.
You're in a lot of trouble, John.
I have a warrant in my pocket that says murder.
Don't run.
You don't have to chase me.
From 20th Century Fox.
That's my Norrity Report, Tom Cruise, which had a situation where society was talking about pre-crime, where you could be imprisoned or punished for crimes that they thought you were going to commit. Now, in Canada, they've got an online harm bill, C-63, but the legislation authorizes house arrest and electronic tagging for a person considered likely to commit. If a judge believes there are reasonable grounds to fear a future hate crime, the innocent party can be sentenced to house arrest, complete with electronic tagging, mandatory drug testing, and communication bans. And if you don't cooperate, you go to jail. Wow. Thought police, hate crime. According to the bill, hate crime is a communication expressing detestation or vilification. Well, what if I say that I don't agree with, say, same-sex marriage? Is that expressing detestation or vilification? When I say I detest abortion, which I do, in Canada, what does that mean? And here's another extraordinary thing from that. The Act has in it that if you have anything there at all, this is from the past now, then you can be penalised for anything that you have written in the past before this Act was passed. Extraordinary. All right, I'm going to play a piece of music because when I hear all this stuff, it's so far removed from the concerns of ordinary people. And one of the things that bothers me is all this activism about hate crime and so on. What about actual crime? What about the poor? What about the oppression of workers, which so often occurs? What about the exploitation? Well, one of my favorite songs last year was this from Christy Moore. Here's a little bit of Ordinary Man.
I'm an ordinary man, nothing special, nothing grand. I've had to work for everything I own. I never asked for a lot, I was happy with what I got. Enough to keep my family and my home. They say the times are hard, and they've handed me my cards. They say there's not the work to go around. But when the whistle blows, the gates will finally close. Tonight they're gonna shut this factory down. Then they'll tear it down. I never missed a day nor went on strike for better pay. For 20 years I served them best I could. With a handshake and a check, it seems easy to forget. Loyalty through the bad times and the good. And the owner says he's sad to see that things have got so bad. But the captains of industry won't let him lose. He still smokes a cigar. He drives a brand new car. Still he takes his family on a cruise. He'll never lose. It seems to me a cruel irony. He's richer now than ever he was before. Now my check is spent. I can't afford the rent. One law for the rich, one law for the poor. Every day I've tried to salvage some of my pride. To find someone.
Okay, let's come on to another kind of extremism. Here is a Tory MP from the UK Parliament, Alicia Cairns, attacking a ALBA MP. ALBA are a breakaway party from the Scottish National Party.
You are suggesting that transgender people do not exist. You are suggesting they are lesser than other LGB people. And I will not stand for that because it was trans people who stood with gay people at Stonewall. It was trans people who fought alongside for LGB rights. So when you say LGBT, you suggest, when you remove the T, you suggest that they are lesser. And I will happily discuss with you the intricacies of legislation. But when you choose to eradicate, then that is wrong.
Now, I find it extraordinary that you've got a Tory MP promoting and pushing the transgender ideology. There's something that's come up this week that is really important. There's an organisation called the WPATH, World Professional Association for Transgender Health. It's a US-based organisation. Where else? And it is hugely influential throughout the world. But now there has been a leak, a series of leaked files, which journalist Michael Schellenberger, who I follow, has released. And there's a full report, which was written by journalist Mia Hughes for the Environmental Progress think tank. And the title tells you what it's about, the WPATH files. Pseudoscientific surgical and hormonal experiments on children, adolescents, and vulnerable adults. And this is what it says. While there is a place in medicine for risky experiments, these can only be justified if there is a reliable, objective diagnosis. No other treatment options are available, and the outcome for a patient or patient group is dire. However, contrary to WPATH's claims, The best available evidence suggests that gender medicine does not fall into this category. Now, the point about it is simply this, that children are being abused and exploited because of this. Governments promote it, elite organizations promote it, but it is child abuse. Here in Australia, there was a report of a mother of a 15-year-old girl who posted to a group chat that her daughter will be getting a double mastectomy in Victoria. Now, we were told this didn't happen, but it does happen. She says, "Happy day today. Just been informed there's a surgeon that our gender clinic recommended here in Melbourne that will do top surgery on my 15-year-old son." That is her 15-year-old daughter. "This will be a massive breakthrough for his mental health, as he'll now be able to wear t-shirts like his friends and not constantly get asked, why do you wear hoodies in the summer?" Wow. Wow. This is a parent who's happy to see their daughter have a double mastectomy. Back in the UK, one of the biggest girls' football leagues in the country is going to be shut down by the Football Association for refusing to allow a boy to play in its matches. The West Riding Girls Football League has been threatened with sanctions. It has at least 6,000 under-18 girls playing across more than 300 teams, where managers voiced their concerns that allowing boys to play would open the floodgates. The boy's parents asked the West Riding Girls League if their son could join him because he didn't want to play with other boys and because he didn't have the ability. When the league declined their request, they launched an appeal with the West Riding County Football Association, and it told the organizations they were in no position to refuse the application and would face sanctions for doing so. Yeah, we warned you it'd be the end of women's sport. All right, back to my music. I think we need something to cheer us up a bit, and this always cheers me up. This is Van Morrison and the Chieftains, and it's the wonderful Mary's Wedding.
Step we gaily on we go, heel for heel and toe for toe, arm in arm and row, off for Mary's wedding.
Okay, we're now on to our fourth kind of extremism, and that's climate extremism. There's an extraordinary story, and I understand that it's true, that Germany is chopping down 120,000 trees in the beautiful ancient forest of Reinhardswald to erect 241-meter wind turbines, so they can say they are saving the planet. Meanwhile, in the island of Lewis off the west coast of Scotland, Northland Power is leading the Spordnamara project, which could see up to 66 turbines, each 380 meters tall, installed 3 to 8 miles from the shore. Now, it will wreck the local area in terms of its view. They say it's going to support jobs and generate enough electricity and so on. But this is going on all the time. Climate extremism is destroying the environment. Just think about that. And then there is abortion extremism. An extraordinary thing in France. The parliaments, that both houses of parliament in Versailles, have passed a thing saying, a law saying that within the constitution of France, France will become the only country in the world to have it written in its constitution. Wow. And they boast about it. You talk about extremists. So it's a constitutional right to kill babies in the womb in France. Meanwhile, in America, CVS and Walgreens have announced that the stores can now offer the medication of the abortion pill on the counter, basically. That's extraordinary. In states where that's allowed. Joe Biden said that the availability of the pill was an important milestone in ensuring access to mifepristone. Biden, of course, is continuing to boast about how he's going to defend abortion on demand. This is from a supposed Catholic. To be honest, that's a reason for why I would never, ever vote for him. And sadly, Anne Faridi of Spiked wrote, "This is the future. Leave the moral decision to women and the supply to pharmacists." Yeah, sure. Tell you what, why don't we leave the moral decision to women and the supply to pharmacists for infanticide as well? Why not? We're reverting to the Greco-Roman pagan view anyway. Oh, I need something beautiful to help me. And here is Nick Cave with his bright horses.
Horses are broken free from the fields. They are horses of love, their manes full of fire. They are parting the cities, those bright burning horses. And everyone is hiding, and no one makes a sound. Side and I'm holding your hand. Ride horses of wonder springing from your burning hand. A heart and it's calling for something. And we're all so sick and tired of seeing things as they are. The horses are just horses and their manes aren't full of fire. And the fields are just fields and there ain't no Lord. Everyone is hidden and everyone is cruel. There's no shortage of tyrants and no shortage of fools. And the little white shape dancing at the end of the wall is just a wish the time dissolve at all.
Everyone has a heart and it's calling for something. And we're also sick and tired in seeing things as they are. Horses is just horses, and their manes aren't full of fire. And the fields are just fields, and there ain't no Lord. And everyone is hidden, and everyone is cruel, and there's no shortage of tyrants, and no shortage of fools. And the little white shape dancing at the end of the hole is just a wish that time can't dissolve at all. This world is plain to see, it don't mean we can't believe in something in any way. My baby's coming back now on the next train. I can hear the whistle blowing, I can hear the mighty roar. I can hear the horses prancing in the pastures of the Lord. Ain't that beautiful? Now, we're on to racial extremism. There is a kind of extremism, like, for example, anti-Semitism or anti-black, anti-Chinese, which is horrendous. But here's another kind. Listen to this.
There are a litany of places in our country, in all of our countries, that are generally inhabited by only white people. And no one has questions about that. And no one is saying that by inviting Black audiences here, you were uninvited. The idea of a blackout night is to say, this is a night that we are specifically inviting Black people to fill up the space, to feel safe with a lot of other Black people in a place where they often do not feel safe.
Okay, and does it play differently? Does the theater feel differently? 100%.
It feels...
In what way? Explain.
I think that... let's not act as though we do not know that culturally, Black audiences and white audiences respond to things differently.
That's Jeremy O'Harris in the UK West End. And he is boasting that he will exclude white people from his West End theatre plays. Now, he lies, by the way, in that talk. And he said places inhabited only by white people. There are no places that are inhabited only by white people. That's actually illegal. And also about not feeling safe. Who doesn't feel safe going to the theatre? Meanwhile, in the UK, here's an article from Spike. Imagine a country where you could be incarcerated for 2 years for producing offensive stickers, where you could be condemned to jail time for putting up stickers that express your deeply held belief, where the cops could come into your home and rifle through your things in search of signs of your ideology, where even your book collection could be held up as proof of your defective ideology and used to damn you as a thought criminal. We're back here again. You are imagining not China or Iran or Argentina under the junta, but Britain in 2024. This is a case of a guy called Sam Melia, who's a far-right activist. I can't stand his ideology, but I think he has the right to express it. He's put out a slogan saying it's okay to be white. And now, in a free country, he's going to jail because he put out a slogan saying it's okay to be white. Wow. I would argue against Mr. Melia, but to jail him is ridiculous. On the other hand, Sam Kerr, who's an Australian football player, a woman football player, who's kind of a heroine here or hero here, was charged by the police in the UK, and her post is being repeated all over the place because she said something that a policeman she got involved with in a row over a taxi fare, I'm sure there's more to it than that, but she called him a stupid white so-and-so illegitimate son kind of thing. Now, there's lots of people on the internet repeating it and saying, well, maybe he was a stupid white so-and-so. Yeah, but replace the word white with black and see what happens. Do you think the Sydney Morning Herald, the ABC, the BBC would be reporting it with such sympathy? See, racial extremism is causing racial division. Or Russell Group universities in the UK have told staff and students that saying the most qualified person you get in the job is a microaggression. Imagine that. To say the most qualified person should actually get a job, the person who's got the best qualifications for the job, to say that is actually a form of microaggression and racism. And that's the University of Glasgow, the University of Edinburgh, Imperial College London, and so on. And then there's church extremism. Again, this is one of those things that you have to check because you think, nah, it's got to be a spoof. But it's not. This is a reality. The Church of England, which is in dire trouble, doesn't have enough clergy, running out of money, still manages to find enough money to give this role, for example. And there are others like it. £36,000 a year, you can be part of a new 11-person racial justice unit, and you are going to be hired as a deconstructing whiteness officer to combat racial injustice. All parishes have been told to draw up race action plans. They shouldn't be afraid of being calling woke and so on. Just incredible. Daniel French, who I listen to because of his podcast, which he and his colleagues have called Irreverent, the irony of many of these projects is they're importing American perspectives and overlaying them a country that's incredibly intolerant. Yeah, well, the Church of England goes even further. In a report, you can't actually believe this, but it's true. Under theology and ethics, we call for the Church of England to apologize publicly for denying that Black Africans are made in the image of God and for seeking to destroy diverse African traditional belief systems. Wow. So these belief systems, which amongst other things, for example, included the Zulu belief that a young man could not become a full adult and have sex until he'd washed his spear in blood, that is, human blood. Are these the diverse African traditional religious belief systems which the Church of England wants to apologise for? See, the extremism in the Church of England is not from right-wing fundamentalists, but it's from progressives who are doing their utmost to destroy it. I love what Thomas Sowell, the African-American intellectual, says. Have we reached the ultimate stage of absurdity where some people are held responsible for things that happened before they were born, while other people are not held responsible for what they themselves are doing today? How did we go from a church which produces this? Let me play this. This is a little bit of Bach. This is from St. Matthew's Passion. How did we go from that to a church which is employing deconstructing whiteness officers, probably including Bach? Okay, let me just do a bit of extreme good news. A report came out this week that one in every two people in Northern Ireland describe themselves as a practicing Christian, that one in five people in Northern Ireland consider themselves to be an evangelical Christian, that each week in Northern Ireland, 35% of people pray, 23% go to church, 13% read the Bible. That is wonderful. Well, good for the Irish, and God bless you, and may we see Northern Ireland grow and flourish. I love Northern Irish people. I love the Ulster Scots. Just, I found that actually tremendously encouraging. All right, we're going to do the Sikh bit. I'm going to introduce it with a bit of Iron Maiden.
Woe to you, O earth and sea, for the devil sends the beast with wrath because he knows the time is short. Let him who hath understanding reckon the number of the beast, for it is a human number. Its number is 666.
And of course, we're talking about the number of the beast. I won't read it all to you. We're looking at Revelation 13, of course. And we're looking at this wonderful word, hexakosio hexikonta hexaphobia. That's the fear of the number 666. It's kind of, there's a cultural awareness of it in the world. I saw someone who actually had a credit card number which had 666 on it. Look, 666. The mark of the beast is just, it's a sign, basically, of being human. John is being told in the middle of all of it, the heavenly number 777. 666 actually refers, when you transliterate to Nero Caesar from Greek to Hebrew, when you transliterate it from Greek to Hebrew, you end up with the number 666. And so what John is saying, look, the number of the beast is the number of the Roman emperor who's persecuting us. And he's saying, God's got his number. Don't worry. Well, I'm going to finish with Bob Dylan's you got to serve somebody. We have to go from Iron Maiden to Bob Dylan. We do have to serve someone. We're going to serve the beast, or we're going to serve Christ. I want to thank Peter for producing this. Thank those of you who contribute to the funding of this. This is so important. I couldn't do it without it. I just couldn't afford to do it without it. And so please do continue to support. Go to www.theweefly.com and you click on the links for the fundraiser. Feel free to contribute. Please help by reviewing this on whatever platform you listen to podcasts to. I mean, it's great. The numbers are pretty steady. In fact, they're generally increasing most of the time, certainly this year. We're about to have fairly soon our 1 millionth download. Also, feel free to contact me, theweefly@gmail.com, just to any comments, suggestions, information. But I do leave you with Dylan, and I do want to say I am an extremist. I'm an extremist Christian, because I believe the only answer is found in Jesus Christ. I got the number of the Lord. I'm going 777, not 666. God bless you. See you next week. Bye.
You may be an ambassador to England or France. You may like to gamble. You might like to dance. You may be the heavyweight champion of the world. You may be a socialite with a long string of pearls. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you're gonna have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Maybe a rock and roll addict prancing on the stage. Money, drugs at your command, women in a cage. You may be a businessman or some high degree thief. They may call you doctor or they may call you chief. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
You may be a state trooper, it may be a young Turk, maybe the head of some bigger TV network. You may be rich or poor, you may be blind or lame, maybe living in another country under another name, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Maybe a construction worker working on a home. Might be living in a mansion. You might live in a dome. You may own guns and you may even own tanks. You may be somebody's landlord. You may even own banks. But you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve
yes,
somebody.
You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Spiritual pride. Maybe a city councilman taking bribes on the side. Maybe working in a barber shop, you may know how to cut hair. And maybe somebody's mistress, maybe somebody's heir. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil. Or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Might like to wear cotton, might like to wear silk, might like to drink whiskey, might like to drink milk, might like to eat caviar, you might like to eat bread. Maybe sleeping on the floor,
sleeping in a king size bed, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Bobby, or you may call me Zimmy, you may call me RJ, you may call me Ray, you may call me anything, no matter what you say, you're still gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, and it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.